Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The 39th Annual Nimrod Literary Awards and Conference for Readers and Writers takes place this weekend. Over 2,000 entries of poems and short stories were submitted by writers from around the world, all vying for the Katherine Ann Porter Prize in Fiction and the Pablo Neruda Prize in Poetry. This year's winners include published novelists and first-time published writers from Indiana, West Virginia, California, and New Jersey. They were chosen by this year's judges, American Book Award-winning poet Jericho Brown and fiction writer Laura Vandenberg. You can meet the winners, the judges, as well as a number of published writers in a variety of writing genres at the annual conference, which takes place Saturday at the University of Tulsa. And the public is invited to a free event Friday evening. The Nimrod Write Night will feature the judges both reading their work and in conversation, with a book signing to follow. That takes place Friday evening at 6:30 at the Tulsa Garden Center in conjunction with Booksmart Tulsa. You can learn more at utulsa.edu/nimrod. I'm joined today by Ailish O'Neill, the editor-in-chief of the Nimrod International Journal of Prose and Poetry, to talk about the weekend's events. Ailish O'Neill, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here.
This is the really big weekend for Nimrod Literary Journal, not only your awards, but also the conference. How wide a net does the conference draw from aspiring writers and readers around the region?
It's actually pretty big. We have a lot of local writers, so we have people from Tulsa, but then we also have people from all around Oklahoma, and we even pick up people from the surrounding states. We have college students coming in from the College of the Ozarks, from Wichita State University, from St. Louis University, and sometimes we even get people from random states. I think we've got someone coming in from New Mexico and New Jersey this year. So,
and what draws them to the conference? Is it a matter of a chance to speak with writers up close, speak with a literary agent, or what exactly?
I think it's a lot of things. Writing is kind of a solitary pursuit. You know, a lot of times when you're writing, you're just sitting at your computer or your notepad, and that can be kind of lonely. So I think one of the things is just to come and be part of a community of writers and get to be around people who, you know, love the same thing that you love, who have your same passion. And then the idea that you can learn from these guest writers that we're bringing in who are just, you know, amazing. They're New York Times bestsellers. They're people who have multiple books. Deborah Crombie, who we're bringing in this year, has written 19 mystery novels that have been New York Times bestsellers. And so these people have so much knowledge and so much, so many tips that they can give you in terms of your writing craft. And it can be just life-changing to hear from them and hear what works for them, what doesn't work for them. It'll give you ideas for what might work for your own writing. And then, yeah, this year we are actually really excited because we do have a literary agent coming in from New York for the first time to the conference. And when you're talking about traditional publishing, a literary agent is your representative, and it's the thing that you need as a writer to really kind of break into the big leagues. And they can be kind of challenging to figure out, how do you get one, how do you attract one, what do you do? And so Alexis Stark's going to come in this year and just give you tips, you know, right from the horse's mouth about how to attract a literary agent.
Now, when I first became aware of the conference many years ago, it was very much geared towards literary fiction and poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And really, those were the two areas. What I've noticed over the last decade, really, is how far in different genres of writing the conference has branched out. I know you have a food writer.
Mm-hmm.
You have a mystery writer. You have, I know you've had science fiction writers. You're really trying to have somebody from nearly every genre of writing.
That's my particular soapbox. I write YA fantasy myself, and I read fantasy, science fiction, young adult. When I'm reading for pleasure, that's a lot of times what I'm going to. And I think that's the case for a lot of writers and a lot of readers. So one of the things that I've been really pushing for the last, you know, decade, like you say, is to expand the type of writers that we're bringing into the conference. Particularly when you're in a university setting, I think people can get very focused on literary fiction and poetry. But the truth is that there are so many good writers in so many genres, and we read books for so many different reasons. You know, I have books that I specifically take onto airplanes because I have flight fear. I get very nervous on airplanes. And so I take a particular set of mystery novels with me whenever I go on a plane because they're quick reads, they're engaging, they keep me focused on the book as opposed to the fact that I'm flying in the air in a tin can. And that's just the case with so much writing. And I think sometimes genre writers can get sort of ghettoized. You know, you can think, oh, well, you know, romances are all trashy. They're all they're just, you know, beach reading, that sort of thing. And I don't think that's the case. I think that we read stories for a lot of reasons. And I don't think that one reason is better than the other. I think that you can find quality stories and quality literature just throughout, you know, the different sections of the bookstore when you go into it. And so that's been very important for us to bring people in that are representative of all these different genres.
What's really been interesting is how young adult fiction has really changed, in which you have adults reading young adult fiction because of the quality of the story and the quality of the writing. And when you look at Hollywood now, what are they most likely to be adapting? A young adult novel.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I love the thing about young adult is that the technical sort of definition is that it takes place, you know, that it has teenage protagonists. But one of the things that you kind of notice about it as you read it is that it really often has to do more with coming of age and with figuring out who you are. And I think that, frankly, we're all figuring out who we are throughout our entire lives.
Sometimes even in our 50s.
Exactly. This is something that we don't stop doing when you hit 18. And so they can be really wonderful books for people of all ages. And I think that's very freeing that you don't have adults who are hiding the fact that they're reading YA anymore. They're happy to read it on the bus or on the subway and let people see that they're doing that.
Now, beyond the focus of the conference broadening, one of the things you've been doing over the last couple of years is changing the preview night, if I will, before the conference. For many years, it was a formal dinner to recognize the award winners. But over the last few years, you've been changing this Friday night event. And tonight, this week, you'll be doing Nimrod Write Night. Tell me about this.
So, yeah, when we started our conference and our awards program 39 years ago, we had a formal dinner, like you said, that we brought in the winners of our literary contest that we host each spring. We have a big national literary competition where writers from all over the nation send in their manuscripts. Our editors read just thousands of manuscripts in the spring. We select finalists, and then we send them to different final judges every year. This year, our judges are Jericho Brown for poetry and Laura Vandenberg for fiction, both of them amazing, amazing writers who are just at the top of their game. And we would bring them in and have a formal sort of award ceremony and dinner. Over the last few years, we wanted to make this more open. There was sort of a perception that this was kind of an in-crowd thing, that you had to already be involved with Nimrod to come to the dinner. And so what we really wanted to do over the last few years is say, no, this is an event that is for the entire Tulsa community. So we changed it up, and now we're calling it Nimrod Write Night. We're partnering with BookSmart Tulsa and Magic City Books, and we're very excited about that. And what we're going to be doing this year is it's going to be completely free, open to the public at the Tulsa Garden Center. And it's just going to be a really fun night for people who love books. We're going to start, we're going to have a reception that's going to be catered by Smoke on Cherry Street. So it's going to be delicious. Then we're going to have an author chat with Laura and Jericho, where they're going to talk with Jeff Martin of BookSmart just about books, about literature, about writing their own writing, about writing in general. But it's going to be a little more general than the conference on Saturday, in that it's not going to focus so much on the nitty-gritty of writing as it's going to be for readers as well as writers. And then Laura and Jericho are going to sign books, but all of our conference guests are going to be there. And so it's just going to be a really fabulous, fun evening. And like I said, one that anyone in the Tulsa community can come to just for free and just show up.
The conference title's always been Conference for Readers and Writers. Is the conference now on Saturday more for writers of various skill levels, or is it still for readers who just want to know the process of writing?
Yeah, the conference on Saturday is geared more towards people who want to write. I think that there would still be interest for people who are more in that reader category rather than writers, But we do focus more specifically on people who want those hands-on tips. And the great thing about the conference, one of the things that I just really, really love about it, is that we have writers from all different ages and experience levels. We're going to have high school kids coming from the Tulsa area and other Oklahoma high schools. We're going to have college-age kids. We're going to have adult writers. We're going to have senior citizens. I think we had a 92-year-old lady join us last year, and it was the first time she'd ever gone to a conference. So we were really excited to have her, you know, come out and do that with us. And we're going to have people who have never shown their writing to anyone. You know, this is the first time that they've really put themselves out there and said, yes, this is what I love. This is who I am. This is what I want to do. And then we're also going to have people who have published their work in literary journals like Nimrod, who might have small press books out. So no matter where you are kind of in your writing career, on your writing journey, there'll be something there, you know, for you. It's something that's very welcoming and also very laid back and very chill sort of environment. That's just very warm and friendly, I think.
Now, that's one of the things the conference has always done. You've had sessions where people can show their own writing.
Yes, yeah, exactly. We one of the things that we do is we have what we call our one-on-one editing workshops. And that's where you can send in your work beforehand, and we'll give it then to one of our editors, one of the people who are here in Tulsa who help us select the work for the journal. They'll look at it, and then they sit down with you for 15 minutes at the conference, and they give you just a personal feedback. They tell you what you're doing well, what you might improve on, some tips to, you know, make that improvement. And like I said, you know, at the beginning, writing can be very, very solitary, and sometimes you don't have somebody who can give you that professional opinion about your work, and so it can be really great to get that advice. We've had multiple people who have come to the one-on-one editing sessions. And then next year when they come back to the conference, they say, oh my gosh, I'm so excited, but that poem that one of the editors helped me with, I got it published, you know, in the intervening year. And they're just, and that makes us so excited, because that's one of our big missions at Nimrod, is to help new writers break into publishing. That's, we don't want to just publish people who are well known, although, you know, we're always happy when we get to do that. But you know, we really want those new writers to break in. One of our winners this year for the contest, who will be teaching one of our classes that we're bringing in, is a woman named Jessica Cavaro. And this is actually the first story that she's ever had published. She's the first prize winner.
Wow.
But she's never been published before at all. And so that, to us, that is a complete success story for the conference. That's what we want to be doing with it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the winners from this year. You mentioned Jessica Cavaro. This is her very first story published. I assume she's been writing for a while.
Yes, yeah. I know she's won a contest, but I don't think it had a publication with it. But she's younger. She's in her 20s, and she's going to be this will be the journal that her work is published in Nimrod, and the journal is now out. It'll be available at the conference. But like I said, it'll be the first time that she's actually in print. We also, though, have our second prize winner in fiction is a woman named Sandra Hunter, and she's actually published two novels. And so she is kind of the opposite, where you've got that you know, new writer, very new writer in Jessica, and then you have a more established writer in Sandra. But they're both going to be here, and they've both, you know, entered the contest, and their stories are very strange and different, and you can kind of see why Laura Vandenberg picked them, because her stories are also very strange and different.
Well, I think that might be a good entry point. Tell us a little about the judges. Laura Vandenberg she has a new novel coming out this coming year. Mm-hmm. Her last novel is Find Me, but before that she wrote several short story collections, and then it would be things like there'd be a hiker, and all of a sudden he runs into people who are searching for the Loch Ness monster. And I mean, just these very strange, implausible situations that she writes stories about.
Yeah, her stories are, they're sort of, you know, mesmerizing, and they're very weird, but in a very good way. Her novel, Find Me, is actually it's kind of a dystopian novel. And it's about a woman named Joy who is living in an America where people are getting sick and they're losing their memory. And then usually they last for about a week and then they die. But she's a person who has a natural immunity to this. And for a lot of science fiction novels, this would be sort of the finding a cure, what do we do about this problem? This isn't actually where Laura takes it. She actually is really exploring the idea of memory and how our memories make us who we are. Joy is looking for her mother, who abandoned her when she was a child, and she has to go on this sort of strange road trip through this sort of disintegrating America to try to find her mom. And it has a very sort of ambiguous ending where you can read kind of what you want into it. And a lot of her work is like this. It's just very, it's very unexplained. And it makes you work a little bit as a reader. But I think that can be a really good and fun thing rather than just having all of the answers laid out for you.
And Jericho Brown is your poetry judge. His most recent collection is New Testament, which I guess was a major award winner. He teaches at Emory University and a really interesting poet that reflects on his own heritage, mm-hmm. sexuality, masculinity, and his ethnicity.
Yeah, no, he won the American Book Award for his first collection of poems. And Jericho is a very energetic poet. He's also a poet who there's kind of this new group of African-American poets who they write about their heritage, but they also go beyond that. They're not sort of, you know, pigeonholed into just writing about this. And Jericho does this. His poems are about love and sexuality and family, and they're very, they have a very kind of raw quality to them. But also while being very polished at the same time, which I know sounds kind of like an oxymoron, but he manages to do both at once. And we're really excited to have him and Laura here because I think they're both just going to be really a breath of fresh air, you know, in the literary scene.
I want to ask you, just poetry, I would imagine, has really changed a lot, especially when you have poetry slams, you have the influence of rap. Has that changed how poets are writing today?
I think it does. You have that, particularly with music, you have that lyrical sense of following tone and following the rhythms of the words. And when you look back at poetry over the centuries, a lot of times that's done with, you know, rhyming schemes with very particular rules for a sestina, for different things like that. But lately we're getting poetry that is exploring these aspects, but in a kind of a freer way, I think. And also people choosing to talk about their own experiences, but then also moving beyond those, making them sort of a universal experience. And sometimes, you know, even using, not that it's a recent phenomenon, but the idea of poetry as protest, particularly right now, I think is very important. We are seeing a lot of that at Nimrod, people taking the events in the world and using literature, using art to explore those and talk about them in a way that's very powerful.
My guest today is Ailish O'Neill, Editor-in-Chief of Nimrod International Journal of Prose and Poetry. The 39th Nimrod Literary Awards and Conference for Readers and Writers takes place tomorrow and Saturday on the University of Tulsa campus, and the Nimrod Write Night, which is free to the public, takes place tomorrow evening at 6:30 at the Tulsa Garden Center. If you want registration information, you can go to utulsa.edu/Nimrod. And she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, your poetry winners, do they sort of reflect that, or is this more traditional poetry winners who are winning?
Actually, our second prize winner, Mary Moore, all of her poems that she submitted are, they explore the idea of monsters. They explore one of her winning poems is a poem called Chimera, and they all explore the idea of what makes us human and what makes us monstrous, and that sometimes it's the people who seem to be the most human who are actually the most monstrous. And one of the things that she was telling me once I called her to tell her that she was the second prize winner, which she was very excited about. It was a wonderful phone call. And she was telling me that it was very specifically some of the political climate that's going on today that has inspired her to explore this and think about it more deeply. Mark Wagner, his poems are actually very deeply personal. The ones that he submitted for this year, several of them have to do with the fact that he has a new daughter. And this is his first child, I believe. And so he's talking about his daughter and looking at what is the world going to be like when she grows up? you know, what kind of world can he help give her? What is she going to have to find and experience on her own? All through the lens of the fact that she's just this tiny little infant right now, but she has so much possibility, you know, as she grows. So we've got kind of the political and the personal going on in both of these poets.
Now, this issue of the journal is devoted to the awards issue. So you're featuring the winners, but are you also featuring some of the finalists and honorable mentions? What goes into the actual issue?
Yeah, no, we have the winners and the finalists and honorable mentions and actually semifinalists as well. So this year we managed to get everybody who was a finalist or a semifinalist on up into the journal for poetry, and most of our fiction writers as well. And so we have those writers, but then we also have in the journal people who have been accepted over the course of the year. All of our issues have both kind of the point of the issue. The fall issue is always the awards issue, and our spring issue always has a specific theme. So all of the work is around that theme, but all of the issues also have people who have been accepted throughout the year who send their work in from across the country and also around the world. Since we do have the international in our name there, we like to make sure that we're being as representative as possible.
I'm wondering, you mentioned that the people who submit, some of them are established writers. Is that just part of the process? I wrote this story. I need to get it out there somewhere. I don't have enough to put together a collection, so I'll submit it to a journal.
People submit to journals in all stages of their careers. One of the ways that when we were talking about literary agents earlier, particularly for fiction, one of the ways that you can kind of attract literary agents and then publishers, you know, if you're working on a novel, is to have had short stories published in literary journals, both print journals and online, since there are, you know, at this point, reputable, you know, journals in both platforms. And but then there are a lot of authors who just, even once they've had that success of having, you know, a novel published, you know, that's in Barnes & Noble or on Amazon, you know, they have the traditional sort of publishing gig going, they still want to get their new work out there. And so they'll continue to submit it. And with poetry, it's kind of the same thing. You have people who are sending poems out, and as they're working sometimes on getting a collection together, sometimes they're just sending them out individually. And people continue to do it from the time that they're just starting out to throughout their careers. We actually, in our last issue, published a poem, actually three poems, I think, by Ted Kooser, who was the Poet Laureate of the United States about a decade ago. And he's a wonderful guy. He actually came to Nimrod's conference
right.
When he was Poet Laureate. And he just continues to send us material. And we're really thrilled by that, you know, because he could send that material anywhere, but he chooses to send some of it to us. So we're very, very flattered when he does that. And he's always sending us great stuff. So
I guess that was the question. You have established writers that will submit to the journal, not necessarily to the awards.
Yes. Yeah. The awards generally attracts more younger writers. I mean, not younger in age necessarily,
but in experience. Yeah.
But we do have people who are submitting who, like Sandra, have published, you know, novels or short story collections. We actually, this year, we started a new award that we're calling the Francine Ringgold Award for New Writers, which is honoring Nimrod's very longtime editor who retired a few years ago, Fran Ringgold. She was Nimrod's editor for 49 years, just a Tulsa institution, a wonderful lady. But the Ringgold Awards are actually going to be for entirely new writers. You can't actually submit if you have published more than two pieces. So they're going to just really focus down on helping writers who are right at the beginning of their career get published in a major literary journal and get their work out there. There's actually a literary agent in New York who they often write to us when the issues come out, and they say, hey, we loved the story by so-and-so. Can you give us their contact information? We'd like to talk to them about representation. So getting published in a journal like Nimrod can really be that springboard that'll get you, you know, your writing career really going. But we're very excited, like I said, about that new award, because it's going to be just for new writers. And that's, like I said, part of our mission and one of the things we were really excited about.
Well, you've sort of answered this question to a degree, but what is the importance of literary journals today in a digital age when you can have your own blog, you have, you know, a website that features your writing. What is the importance today? And especially since a lot of literary journals are becoming e-journals.
I think that there's something still very important about being able to hold a piece of writing in your hands. I'm a big proponent of reading in whatever way that you want to. If you want to read on your Kindle, if you want to listen to audiobooks, if you want to read a print, you know, book, I think they're all, the important thing is that you're getting the stories, that you're, you know, absorbing them in whatever way is easiest for you. That said, I think that just that physicality of a print journal or a print book, there's something that we just like about that. We like the way the pages feel. We like the way that they smell. You know, people who are book lovers, you always know that sort of that old book smell that we all sort of think is like perfume. And there are many opportunities for self-publishing, and I think that they're really amazing. I'm not one of the people who likes to diss on self-publishing, because I think that it can be something that people can do for themselves and can be a really powerful way to get your stories out there. But I think that particularly when you're looking at traditional publishing, it's important to have kind of a gatekeeper, to have somebody who is saying, yes, we think that this work is quality, we think this work has something to say. When you're looking at moving your career up into sort of the major leagues, so when you have those publication records as a writer, I think it can be very important. And then also I think that literary journals are important just because it can be, they provide new material to readers on just this regular basis. And, you know, journals like Nimrod, we're looking for new writers a lot of the time. We're looking for people who haven't been, they're not going to be in Barnes & Noble. They're not just going to be when you walk, you know, right into the library and be in a big display. But they have important stories to tell. They have important thoughts to give out there. And I think that they, so you have a journal that helps kind of collect them and then share them with the world. And I don't think that, I think without literary journals, those avenues would be much harder for readers to find.
Well, how many entries did you have for this past year's competition?
For this past year's competition, we had about 2,000 entries.
2,000 entries, that's...
So, yeah, it was, it was a lot of reading that we did, and... we usually, when it comes to picking finalists, we can pick 20 finalists in each category. So we had a lot of material. And but it also just proves, sometimes people talk about, you know, the death of publishing or that people aren't reading. And I think maybe we're going through a transitional period more than there's any sort of death going on. I think that people are getting their stories in a lot of different ways. And but I think that means that traditional publishing is still important, even as we're finding these new avenues.
Well, the Nimrod Write Night takes place tomorrow evening at 6:30 at the Tulsa Garden Center. You can hear from the judges from the awards. And then the conference takes place the following day here at the University of Tulsa. Ailish, it's a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Ailish O'Neill is the editor-in-chief of the Nimrod International Journal of Prose and Poetry. Their annual conference for readers and writers takes place Saturday at the University of Tulsa. And the Nimrod Write Night, featuring the judges of the competition of the 39th Nimrod Literary Awards, takes place tomorrow evening at 6:30 at the Tulsa Garden Center. The Write Night is free to the public. There is a fee for the conference. You can learn more at utulsa.edu/Nimrod. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.